Well, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about a simple truth, but something that is very, very neglected in preaching today. It's just not popular. It doesn't fit with the attitudes of Christian culture today or the pop theology of the day. And in fact, I'm just going to say it's going to sound kind of strange to some of you because you may not have ever heard such a thing talked about this way. And you're going to see, though, that it is the Word of God, that it is the Scripture, and how much it is the Scripture. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about being a servant of Jesus. Amen. Me and one other. We're excited. That's a phrase you just don't hear much. A servant of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, when you see in the Scripture over and over and over, there's something to this. I believe for me personally, I need to be able to say every day, I'm a servant of Jesus. Every day, whatever I'm doing, I'm a servant of Jesus. I am His servant. We all need to be able to say that. Anybody that's made Jesus the Lord of their life, you know, let's just get this out of the way right up front. When we say Lord in the New Testament, the word that is translated as Lord is not just another name for God. Now, in the Old Testament, you see Yahweh translated as Lord a whole lot. But in the New Testament, when you see the word Lord, it's not just another name for God. It literally means master. And we need to understand that. When we say Lord, we're not just saying, hey, God. We're really saying master. You call Him Lord, you're calling Him master. And I know it sounds strange to some of you, but I'm just telling you, we're supposed to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Do you consider yourself as a servant of Jesus Christ? Our answer should be yes, absolutely, unequivocally, without any reserve at all. Yes, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, if you call yourself a servant of Jesus, I want to tell you, you are really good company. In Romans 1:1, Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ. This is how he starts his letter to the Romans. A servant of Jesus Christ. This is who he is. This is how he identifies himself. In Philippians 1:1, he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. In Colossians 4:12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. James 1:1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. John refers to himself in Revelation 1:1, his servant John. Are you starting to get the picture here? I mean, we got Peter and Paul and James and John and Jude, and it just goes on and on and on. What'd they call themselves? Hey, y'all, it's me, Paul. You know, the big shot. The guy that's going to write a lot of scripture. No. He says, a servant of Jesus. See, we need to get this attitude back in the body of Christ today. We don't need big shots. We need servants. People who know they just do what God says to do. They just serve the Lord Jesus. We're not anything at all. Except His servants. That's who we're supposed to be. When the church prayed in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they said, now, Lord, look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. We are His servants. And these great men of God didn't brag about who they were or what they had done, what they had accomplished. Their brag was, I'm a servant of Jesus. And we need that mentality brought back in the church. And we need to acknowledge it to ourselves. I'm a servant of Jesus. We need to acknowledge it, of course, to the Lord. we also need to let the devil know, I'm a servant of Jesus. And I think we ought to let everybody know, I'm a servant of Jesus. That's what they were doing. I'm a servant of Jesus. By the way, it's easy to preach something that everybody knows and agrees with, because you know when people say amen, generally they're saying amen, that means they agree. And preachers need that. It's like, go get them. Amen. We need that. Let me tell you how this works, y'all. Most preachers, if you don't say amen, they think you're not getting it, so they just keep pounding. So if you want to get out before midnight... Lots of amens coming now. I feel it. But you see, when you say what everybody agrees with, that's easy because everybody, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? When you talk about something that a lot of people don't really have this truth, oh, it gets quiet sometimes. But I'm telling you, this is for us. You know, I'm preaching this on Wednesday night because, you know, the Sunday saints, some of them couldn't handle it. And I just want to say I appreciate you crazy people that come out on Wednesday night like me. You know, I don't just come because I'm preaching. I don't know if you know that. I like Wednesday night church. I love Wednesday night church. I don't like going from Sunday to Sunday. See, I'm just not that spiritual. I'm not that strong. So I don't see, some people think, well, you know, the real strong people go on Wednesday. I don't know about that. Maybe it's because we're weak enough, we know we need God's help. And by the way, it's only the weak that get to say they're strong. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. If you're strong, shut up. Because here we just need Jesus, and that's why we're here, and we know we need him, and we're his servants. So I'm preaching to the Wednesday night people about being servants. We like to talk about being his sons and daughters. I do. I read those scriptures. I love that. We like to talk about being his friends, and we like to talk about being free, but we don't much talk about being his servants. Somehow that idea, that concept has just kind of been left aside in our generation. And I want to tell you that there is freedom there. There is victory there. That comes when we really understand truth sets free. Amen. So we got to get this. You know, talk about being his friend. And did you know there's a whole lot more verses about being a servant? Way more. And yet, well, let's talk about that friend part. In fact, it's amazing how people can make a case for not being a servant from the scripture. You need to remember that the devil twisted the scripture just a little bit to deceive Eve. And he tried to use the scripture to deceive Jesus, to tempt Jesus. And he does the same thing with people, with not with unbelievers, but people that believe the Bible. He'll try to use the scripture against you and deceive you. So you always interpret scripture in the light of the rest of scripture. See, when Satan says to Jesus, cast yourself down from here, his angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus quotes another scripture. He says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So yes, you got to interpret scripture in the light of other scripture. So Jesus says in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants. Let me just stop right here for a second. He didn't say, you guys aren't servants anymore. That's not what he said. He said, no longer do I call you servants. Listen, these same guys were calling themselves servants later. He says, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all the things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. See, we get to say, I'm not only a servant, I'm a friend. The relationship had changed where they had this deeper, closer relationship with Jesus. It wasn't just master and servant, but there was also a friendship there. But how do you get to be friends with Jesus? Well, you just back up one verse. Instead of John 15, 15, you go John 15, 14. That's strange. People don't get this. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. It's real popular in Christianity today. Oh, everybody's a friend of Jesus. No, they're not. Jesus defines who his friends are. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. That sounds like a servant to me, doesn't it to you? Not everybody is Jesus' friend. That is just pure garbage theology. Live like the devil, act like the devil, and Jesus, you're Jesus' friend. No, you're not. Now, John also records something else about being a servant. In John 12, 26, he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. So we need to get back to this servant mentality. It's amazing how the enemy of our soul has deceived a generation of Christians with just a few verses to think that we are not servants. Here's another passage that gets abused. Galatians 4, 3 through 7. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As I said, you got to interpret Scripture in the light of the rest of Scripture. The relationship has changed. Yes, we are not just a servant. We're also a child of God. But are we still servants? Yes. He's not saying that we're no longer servants. In the same letter, Paul wrote this to the Galatians. In the same letter, he writes, if I still please men, I would not be the bondservant of Christ. He says very plainly, he's still a servant of Christ. Now, this is really unpopular today. And people like to water it down and act like it's no big deal. But we need to understand that when this word servant is used, it's talking about that you are under their control. You belong to them. It's not a little thing. It's heavy duty. It's serious. Do you belong to somebody? I do. You know, the centurion soldier that came to Jesus understood being an authority and someone being under that authority. In Matthew 8, 9, he says, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. To my servant, do this, and he does it. Do this, and he does it. We are under the Lord's authority, and we are his servant. And when he says, do this, we do it. That should be the way we live our life every single day. Not just in obeying the written commands, but even allowing the Lord to lead us and guide us. Whatever he says to us, we do it. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, we have to choose to be his servants, to do his will, to obey him. And we need to remember we belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Talk about being redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, redeemed. You were bought. He redeemed you not with silver or gold, but with his own precious blood. And we are his servants. I think if preachers preach this more, a lot of people, it would just save them a lot of stress and frustration and heartache. As Jesus sets free, the whole truth sets free. Amen. And we need this truth of being a servant to really be free. I want you to see it in Romans chapter 6. I hope you came ready for a lot of scripture tonight. But I want you to see this truth in the scripture as it's in here over and over and over. Romans 6, 20 through 23, when you were slaves of sin, past tense. Born again Christian, you're not supposed to be a slave of sin. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, what? Are you a slave of God? The Bible says that if we're free from sin, we have become the slaves of God. In fact, if you're not a slave of God, you're not free from sin. This is the only way. Having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, that verse gets quoted a whole lot, and that's a wonderful thing because it's a wonderful verse. And yes, it should be quoted a whole lot, but I want you to understand that it doesn't really work if you leave out the former part about becoming a slave to God. Because it's not just about sins forgiven. It's about being free. Amen. Everybody serves something. Everybody. It's like the old Bob Dylan song. Anybody know it? Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. It goes like this. You're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. The reason that we struggle with serving Jesus is because there's so many other things that we can serve. You can serve money. Oh, this is really big. It was big in Jesus' day and it still is. In America, it is amazing how so many people serve money. They think that they're using money. No, money's using them. They serve it every day of their life. So many people serve success, serve pleasure. You can serve drugs or alcohol. That's right. They control your life. You can serve pride. A lot of people in America love this one. They feel, in fact, a lot of Christian people feel real self-righteous about their pride. A lot of things you can serve, or you can serve Jesus. In Luke 16, 13, no servant can serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one, love the other, else you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money and stuff. But here's the thing. A lot of people try. Sooner or later, and most of the time it's soon, you're going to choose between the two. You're going to have to pick. In a parable in Luke 19, Jesus tell them this parable, and it goes like this. He says, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Now, it's a parable, but he's given us the principle. We're supposed to serve the Lord. Not, you can't reject Jesus being your Lord and still say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Well, I guess you can say it. There's a lot of phony, disingenuous Christianity. But those who choose to serve him, Matthew 25, 21, in another parable, you know it. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, you know, I don't know. I'm seriously thinking about it. I always sign to my letters, serving joyfully. But I think I may just change it to serving Jesus or a servant of Jesus. And I don't know that it's necessary to talk about it and put it on your letters. I see that the apostles did. But I don't know if that's necessary for us to do. But I do think it needs to be a way of life for us. It needs to be a mentality that we have, that every day of my life I serve Jesus. I'm in his service. We just learn to hear his voice and obey his voice. I want to tell you that's an amazing way to live. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, there's a familiar story, and I'm not going to read it tonight, but Jesus is at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and he does his first miracle at his mother's request, and she says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, they had run out of wine. They needed more wine at this wedding. And she says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. She knows if they'll just do what he says. And so Jesus tells the servants to go fill the water pots with water, and miraculously, the water is changed into wine. They just did what he said. And it's amazing how that works when we, as the servants of the Lord, just do what he says. He takes care of the rest. That's the way we're really supposed to live. Being a disciple, we're supposed to live with our will surrendered to his. I mean, what if we got up in the morning and we said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve you today. I'm ready to obey you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Because most of the time when people get up and they pray, they say, Lord, now they may not use these exact words, but this is how it goes. Lord, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do this, and Lord, I want you to do this, and please do this. And I'm not saying we don't present our requests to God. We certainly do. But I just wonder so often if we would just submit ourselves and say, Lord, I'm your servant. 1 Samuel 3:10, Samuel, he got it right when he said, speak, for your servant hears. There's a wonderful prayer. Speak. Don't hear the Lord. You know what? I don't always hear the Lord as clear or as quick or as often as I want to. But I think we hear a whole lot more if we ask. Lord, speak. I'm listening. Your servant is listening. That's what he said. Your servant hears. See? And being a servant of Jesus, I really believe it'll set you free. Talking about being a slave, being a servant, somebody else being in control of your life, that's right. It'll absolutely set you free. Because you can be a Christian and do all kinds of good things and work hard for the Lord and just be burdened and bound. Familiar story, Luke 10. 38 through 42. I'm going to read this one. It says, it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, a lot of people get all upset about this, and they make a thing about it, you know, and they say, "Well, you know, somebody's got to be Martha." Well, you know what? Somebody has to be responsible and take care of things and do what they're supposed to do. That's true. Somebody doesn't have to be all wound up and bent out of shape and upset. And that's exactly where a lot of people are. I think that Jesus is telling Martha, you ought to be able to serve without being troubled. And I really believe if we get a hold of this principle of servanthood and serving Jesus, that it'll relieve us a lot of that cranky, being stressed, upset about life and about what somebody else is or isn't doing. Because if we're obeying God, I want to tell you, he takes care of the parts, the things that we're worried about, that we're stressed about. So many Christians, they're kind of in that Martha mode. You know, they're trying to take care of everything and do everything, and they get burned out. And they get cranky and sometimes angry. We just need to come to that humble place of being a servant of the Lord. Right. And whatever we do for him, we just serve him. There's a freedom in that. And I think you're going to see it in this next passage, Matthew 11:28-30, another familiar passage. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Are you there? "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You who labor and heavy laden, hard work, bearing the load of responsibility. But when we submit ourselves to his lordship, he says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Easy and light. What's that like? I don't know very well, but I want to learn. And I'm glad that he says, "Learn from me." That means we can learn, right? See, this yoke of the servant, he says, meek and lowly, humble. I'm meek and lowly in heart. This is so different from the attitude of the world. We want to defend our rights. We want to say, "You know what? It's my life. I can do what I want. I'm my own man." And Jesus says, "Learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." There really is freedom in being a servant and humbling ourselves before the Lord. I, as a pastor, I can tell you without any doubt, you can just work yourself to death. I'm going to put this in old country boy terms, all right? You can run around like a chicken with the head cut off and just drive yourself crazy or you can come and bring that burden to Jesus and learn to humble yourself before him as his servant. Being a servant of Jesus, I got to tell you, it ain't a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. We got a Lord who loves us. He wants the best for us. And if we'll just truly be his servants and obey him, how blessed we are. And this is real Christianity, not that hypocritical stuff where people just play Christianity. I used to would have said play church, but now they don't even do that. They just play Christianity. Well, I'm a Christian. Doesn't mean they love Jesus or serve Jesus. They just claim to be a Christian. How about the real thing where it's life-changing, where there's joy and victory and peace, not all stressed out and anxious and acting just like the world? These guys in the scripture, all of them, Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude and many others, they all call themselves servant of Christ. Here's the thing. None of them would take anything for their journey. Maybe this is a real key that a lot of us are kind of missing. We need this in our life to get this mentality. I'm a servant of Jesus. I want to remind you again. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There's joy for the faithful servant. See, when you get past the pride, you get past that, the old attitudes, and you lay down your life at the feet of the Master, and you realize that you've been redeemed, bought at a price, you belong to him, I'd want to tell you, there's a weight that's lifted off of you when you realize, I am his servant. And every morning, every day, you get up and you say, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to serve you today. I want to please you today. What a way to live. Jesus, always our example. He served the Father. There's a lot of scripture talking about Jesus serving us. But I just want to give you a few things here. In John 14, 30 and 31, he says to the disciples, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. See, he knows that he's about to be taken to be crucified, but he says, the world got to learn. I do exactly what the Father's commanded me. And it's not much later in Luke 22, 42, where he's praying that prayer, not my will, but yours be done. He's submitting himself to the will of the Father. Prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53. And by the way, it is one of the most amazing passages of scripture in the whole Bible. If you're not familiar with it, I just encourage you to go home and read the whole chapter tonight of Isaiah 53, written hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ, and yet it depicts him in detail. It's absolutely amazing. I just want to read two verses of it to you tonight. Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. This is what the Father says in prophecy about Jesus, my righteous servant will justify many and bear their iniquities. The righteous servant of the Father. He justified us. He took our iniquities. He was a servant. He served us. We got to make ourselves truly His servants. I want you to stand with me. We're going to